Today I'm going to talk about something for the Student Loan Planner podcast that might be a little shocking. Some people will already know this, but I think a lot of people won't. I want to address head on this idea that I've heard a lot in a lot of our consults over the past, you know, really several years, but especially recently. Some people having the feeling of, I wish I could give my debt back and give the degree back too, because people are feeling burdened. They're feeling like they made a bad financial choice. They're feeling like, if I could only undo this key decision that I made, life would be so much better. And I want to tell you that that is actually probably mathematically wrong. And I'm going to explain why, because I think that this is a very useful thing to reset the way a lot of people think. So let's just say that you took out $200,000 and you became a dentist. So you took out $200,000 of debt, you're a dentist, you're making $120,000 a year, and you wish you could undo it. What a lot of people don't think about is, okay, let's continue that line of thinking. Let's say you did give back the debt, you have zero student debt, and you give back your degree, and you're no longer a dentist. Now you have a bachelor's degree. What job would you go get with that bachelor's degree? Usually people are like, well, I don't know, I guess a corporate job. So let's say you go get that corporate job. Let's say you make 70. Let's compare 120K a year to 70, but it's 120K with 200K of loans, of course. If you're paying 10% of your income, or even 15%, if you know the student loan apocalypse happens and IBR becomes the only option, let's say, just for argument's sake, because it's easy to calculate, 10% of income is lost to paying your loans through one of these forgiveness plans, right? So you go from 120K to 108K of income after your IDR payment is satisfied, right? And then let's say you need to worry about the tax bomb. Okay, maybe put 5% of your income away for the tax bomb. So out of that 120K, let's say you're putting about $6,000 a year into the tax bomb. So now you've got 102K. Is 102K of income greater or less than a bachelor's degree income with 60? Is a professional degree in dental medicine more or less financially secure in the next economic recession than a 60K a year job with a bachelor's degree? It is way, way more secure, way more secure. I want to tell you how more secure. The unemployment rate for a professional degree holder is something like 2 or 3%, and a economic catastrophe, it rises to like 5% or something like that. Bachelor's degree, pretty consistently 5%, then jumps to 15% or something like that in a really bad recession. So the difference between unemployment rates is actually even wider from professional degrees to bachelor's degrees in times of economic distress. That means there's like a flight safety quality with having a professional degree. One reason why investors pay so much of a premium to hold U.S. Treasury bonds is because they know when times get bad, they will be able to count on the U.S. government paying its interest income, even if the economy is awful, because we've done that even in depressions, right? We've always made those payments. So if you think about the fact that you maybe have a professional degree, do people need your skill? Do people need to see you? Even in bad economic environments, do people have to go to you for some kind of help? Probably the answer is yes. Can you have a random crackpot on the street compete with you without any training or education? The answer is probably no. If I go sell, you know, no hate on people who sell essential oils, but there's no barrier to entry for that. There's no education that's required to do that. And so competition's therefore potentially unlimited, and it's much harder to make it selling essential oils than it is to make it being a professional degree holder. Of course, you know, bachelor's degrees jobs, a lot of those require degrees, but how many bachelor's degree holders are there out there? Millions? How many people have your profession-specific degree? Tens of thousands, maybe a low six-figure number if you're more of like a profession with a lot more numbers behind it, like a nurse or teacher, you know, versus like a veterinarian, where there's like tens of thousands of those, period, which is not that many. I want us to really reflect on this, because I think that what happens is people feel shame, and they feel like the one of the worst feelings you can possibly have is feeling like you're a, I don't know if chump is a bad word, but like, I don't think it is, so I'll say it. So people feel like they're a chump. They feel like they're a fool. They feel like I got taken advantage of, and I'm super embarrassed. I don't want to tell anybody about this because I'm so shamed. I feel so much shame. I feel so much embarrassment. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to even think about it. And I think what happens is we're all of our own worst critics. So we like to beat ourselves up. We like to say, man, Travis, you're such an idiot. And I know because I've done this a lot, right? I mean, I beat myself up all the time. I am my own worst critic, and I see the same behavior that exists in other people because other people, we're all humans. We all struggle with similar things. And so what happens is you beat yourself up and think, if I had only made that decision to not listen to my fill in the blank and gone to law school, or if I'd only not gone to medical school, I could have worked at fill in the blank company instead, and my life would be so much better right now. And I want to say that that is probably not true. Like, your choice of profession is probably not as significant on your happiness as you might think. And the reason for that is, like, you're not stuck. And a lot of people think they are, and it makes sense why they're so upset or frustrated, but you're not stuck. I had this interesting conversation where it's like, well, okay, I talked to this person who had $200,000 of debt from a profession-specific degree. Now, in this case, this person really liked their job, but let's say that she hadn't. With grad plus loans, she could literally go back to medical school, borrow another $300,000 of debt. This person worked in the private sector, so she'd probably go get a PSLF-eligible job as a physician in a nonprofit hospital system, and she would have been done with her loans faster with an extra $300,000 of debt than she would have in the private sector, continuing to go down the path of forgiveness with $200,000 of debt. So literally, if she wanted to more than double her debt and get a totally new degree and go down a totally new path in life, she could totally do that. That is totally an option with the really crazy, nutso student loan system that we have. And think about, it's not just the fact that you financially probably have a better decision of doing your degree program. Yeah, having done your degree program, that's not just that it's a better financial decision. It also gives you more time freedom. So let's compare that dentist job with after, you know, $120,000, and then you're giving up $12,000 to IDR, you're giving up $6,000 to your tax bomb savings, and you're left with like $102,000 or whatever, versus the $60,000 bachelor's job. Let's say you dream that you could do origami full time. Maybe that's your dream. You just wish that you could do origami or something like that all the time. I'm saying origami because, like, there's this like kids museum I take the kids to, and there's always this little origami booth or whatever there at the museum, and I always beeline for it. I'm always trying to, you know, it's like stress relieving, right? So I love doing it. And the kids, they'll look at it and they'll like fold something once, and then they'll just like throw it in the garbage and start running around and screaming and having fun. So that's maybe just something that why I thought of that. But like, say you wanted to do some hobby. Maybe it's like you wish you could fish a lot more. You wish you could go to more ballet classes as a hobby, or you wish you could do like a hip hop class or something that like very few people get paid to do. Well, guess what? If you wanted to, with $102,000 of income, you could find a part-time job working 3 days a week. And instead of making $102,000, you'd make $60,000. And then you would have two extra days a week where you could do nothing but origami and hip-hop dancing, ballet, and fishing for those Thursday and Friday days that you don't have to work, and you'd make the exact same amount of money as if you have a bachelor's degree. And not only that, but that $60,000 of income is a lot safer, and it's a lot more easy to bump that income up if you ever needed to, compared to if you're in this bachelor's degree role, you're working your full-time job, and the only way you have income go up is like switching to a higher-paying job, which heavily depends on how hard you're working, and if your skill set's in demand, if you're constantly learning, if you are in an industry that is in expansion, right? If depending on what your local job market is like, you know, that's another thing to be honest too, is, you know, yeah, there's a lot of drawbacks to being a dentist or a lawyer or a physician, but like people are not thinking about there's a lot of drawbacks to doing other things too. There are pros and cons to literally anything. And, you know, yeah, sometimes people could maybe have a little bit easier time making decisions a little bit more carefully based off of where they want to end up and how they want to live, but that's anything, right? That's, you could say that about literally anything. So yeah, if you want to live, if you'd really like to live in a big city, if you love urban environments, you're really like into the coasts, yeah, if you want to work your tail off, then going to law school is probably a good decision because you can get a big law job and have really high upside with your career. But, you know, conversely, if you are in medical field and you kind of wish you could have a high income, maybe it's not that great to go into medicine if you want to live in like LA or New York, if you want to be in medicine just from a financial perspective, because there's just so much competition and you actually make a lot less if you live in those types of cities. Whereas if you kind of don't mind living in a small to mid-sized town, you go into some sort of medical field, you could be quasi-rich just because the demand is so high for these smaller towns, more out of the way places for medical professionals, because every single person everywhere needs your skill set. So that's the kind of thing that, yeah, you know, in a perfect world, you would plan that a little bit ahead of time. But that's okay if you didn't. Why? Because if you have a bunch of student loan debt, you made a mistake, well, you can fix the mistake. You can literally go back and borrow a whole bunch of more debt, go for forgiveness on that additional debt, also paying a percent of your income, and all the student loan debt is an income tax. The reality there is you make choices. And I think the problem, the fiction is that you don't have the choice. The fiction is that if I only could give my debt back and give my degree back, my life would be so much better. And that is probably not true. It is probably a lie that you're telling yourself because you feel a lot of stress and shame and maybe anxiety and hopelessness or even depression at times. And I want to encourage you. I want to be somebody who's you're hearing from that says, wait a second, stop beating yourself up. You're so much more talented and you're in so much better of a position than you think you are. The average American has something like $50,000 in their 401k heading into retirement. So if you have more than $50,000 in your retirement already, if you don't, you're probably a couple years out of school. If you do have more than $50,000 in your retirement, you're better off than the average person at 65. And so the problem is like people compare themselves to other people that they know. And that when you do that, there's always going to be someone ahead of you. There's always going to be someone whose parents paid for dental school, right? There's always going to be somebody who has a lot more money or a higher income or is more successful. And then you're never going to be happy. And even if you have zero student loan debt, that's not going to make you happy. So instead, I would just think about this in terms of, well, how does my life compare to somebody who is a high school graduate who doesn't have the opportunities that I have had? And maybe I shouldn't be thinking about how I compare to the highest wealth folks that I went to my medical school with. That's just not a good comparison. So I would just say, what do you need to be happy? Whatever it is, that's what you should be pursuing. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to not feel like the student loans have to get in the way. And the other thing, parting thought for you today, today's like a little bit shorter podcast. We've got the whole team on a big retreat. So I thought I'd just kind of give it more of an inspirational take. And obviously, we'll have a ton of super detailed student loan policy kind of podcasts in upcoming weeks as we get more and more information about what they're going to do with, you know, just all these different lawsuits and also the election and all the implications for that. So don't worry, we're going to go back to that at some point. But I want to make sure that the parting thought here today is that you need to have your own oxygen mask of happiness securely fastened. And what happens is if you prioritize other people and other things or other things you feel like you need to do, you know, instead of your own happiness, then everything suffers. And so like if you're supporting first generation immigrant parents, or you're supporting a brother or a sister, or you are working your tail off so your spouse can have their dream home or something like that, you need to be able to communicate honestly about how you're doing and how are you feeling. It's very important that you have boundaries. I think that's another thing that personally I learned a lot, just to be transparent, like lifelong anxiety disorder. And one of the ways that you can manage that is learning about boundaries, right? And that's like a big takeaway that I've gotten just from being a hardcore people pleaser, feeling like people are always upset at me or being worried about other people's feelings about what they're going to think or something like that. The way you can help with that is to have those boundaries, to say like, I need to have time for myself. I need to be able to go after my dream of having my own practice. I need to be able to believe in, or, you know, get excited about the dream of buying the car I've always wanted to drive, or, you know, do the home renovation I've always wanted to do, or have power over when I get a really mean patient, right? Having boundaries of, hey, you know, it's not okay just because you pay for this appointment, you don't get to treat me like that. So I think that that's one thing that I just want to impart today and just encourage you with is have those boundaries, pursue your goals and dreams. Remember that a lot of the things we tell ourselves that put ourselves in a negative mood are lies, and it's just mathematically not true, right? And that's one of the fun things that I get to do in my job is like show people the math and be like, look, this is not an opinion. This is factually true that you're better off than almost all the other choices you could have made. Or at a minimum, there is a 80 to 90% probability that you are much better off, right? Because yeah, like if you had not done this profession job, you're obviously a smart person. You could have done a lot of other things. But, you know, what's the probability that you would be making more than what you're making now? It's probably a probability that is a lot lower than you would think, just because profession-specific jobs are, as a group, pretty hard to overcome in terms of the income you can make. And if you're not making the income in a profession-specific job, you either probably are getting the job security if you're a public servant, or you're maybe doing more impactful, meaningful, soul-gratifying work. And that's what I would hope, right? And if you're not, remember, you can just go back to school, get a new degree, and fix the problem and just still go for income-driven repayment because there's no lifetime cap on borrowing, knock on wood, yet. So pat yourself on the back. You deserve to. You should not feel shame. You should not feel guilt. And I just want to be your big cheerleader in chief today, just in case anybody needed this. So do not think that you should return your degree and return your debt. What you did is probably super financially smart. Over time, you're going to see that more and more and more. So thanks for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. If you need a consult, studentloanplanner.com/book. If you need to share some thoughts or share a question that you're facing with your loans or your finances in general, you can leave that question at studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. Thank you, everybody, and have a great rest of your week.